Hello, this is astrologer Shelley Antine, and I am giving you what I see in the chart of the Aries full moon, which is taking place on October 17th, which is Thursday, at 7:26 a.m. in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. And when we're in that zone with a moon chart, we will set it for Washington, D.C., and it's quite interesting. They're always interesting, of course, but this one has its unique quality. The polarity between the moon in Aries and the sun in Libra is what we have at every full moon in Aries. And we are looking then at, with the moon, the instinctive response to life, which can include leadership and courage, but it can also be anger and impatience and acting without thinking. And this isn't something that the world is really needing right now, but it is, again, this is not a conscious, this is an instinctive response when we are in the lunar phase. And we have Chiron on one side of the moon at 21 Aries retrograde, been trying to teach us, as you may remember if you've been listening to the podcast, about how to heal the negative parts of the Aries nature, which are far more famous, you know, war and aggression, and go into the positive. And North Node is also trying to tell us this, as it is in Aries still. This is one of the things we could hope is being taught at this moon, is to go into that enlightened leadership, the enlightened courage. We have one of the presidential candidates under this full moon at birth, and so this is a quest for her personally. It is a her, so I'll let you figure out who I'm talking about. But also, there's a caution for all of us, and also for this candidate, because the moon is in the exact conjunction to retrograde Eris. And so Eris is the sister of Mars in the mythology, and she's known to instigate things and make people do things foolishly at times. So we have to be aware that the potential to be goaded into action must be resisted. But the other part of that, you know, and I'm really into the fact that everything is polarity, everything is frequency, and you go from one side to another and the places in between. So with Eris, the more positive polarity is, I'm willing to rattle the cage so that something that needs to be seen and needs to be done will take place. All right? And that may be that foolish thing that you did that will help you see something. It would be so much nicer to learn our lessons without having to get hurt by them or hurt anyone else with them, of course. So this is the little grouping around our instinctive response to life at this full moon, so we'll all have to watch out for it at the time of the full moon and on the day of the full moon. So the polarity to the sun in Libra. Okay, you know, again, they like to call this a fallen sun because it's in a sign that maybe causes it to be weakened by the instability of decision making, which can be a negative aspect for Libra. The scales need to be balanced, but sometimes there are so many different points of view or different ideas that we could look at that we can't quite come to rest. All right, but that's not the only thing there is about Libra. And the sun is our conscious desire to express the self. And with Libra, it can be the positive energy of wanting to express harmony and justice and the upholding of relationships and agreements. We have been in lesson learning with the South Node in Libra about not standing up for things, being too much of a people pleaser, or breaking vows, or looking at laws that are not really going to bring equality and justice. So the sun here is trying to move into a stronger position, as I see it, because the asteroid that is the wife of the great god, this is Juno, exact with the sun. So you've got Eris exact with the moon and Juno exact with the sun in Libra. And she is about marriage and the equality and the rights of women. So you see, this is a very interesting polarity as the United States goes into election time. It's actually fitting that it should be so in terms of, you know, the candidates, again, and also the issues, some of the issues that are on the table. So we have that. And we've got, some astrologers are saying it's a grand cross. That means this opposition between the sun has another opposition in the cardinal signs. Cardinal signs are Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. They are active. They can be agitated. And there could be quite a lot of sense of agitation during this particular full moon. However, Mars at 22 of Cancer is not in orb, classically, to the opposition to Pluto. Now, Mars in Cancer opposition Pluto, now direct in Capricorn, is going to be, you know, a volatile moment. And that volatile moment will actually arrive in transit, exact, on November 3rd, which is 2 days after our new moon in Scorpio, and I believe it's 2 days before the election. So, anger about security, wanting home and family to be protected. I'm going to get into this a little bit more, this idea. The agitation of the people of a country. Cancer is the people of a nation or any nation, not just ours. And Pluto is intense power in governments and corporations, right? So we may have noticed that there's a little agitation already, and there has been for a while. But it draws closer. At the time of the full moon, I think we are approaching this, and it's not really the main player. But there are two T-squares, which is not the full square, which has four legs. The T has three legs. And that's because Mars at 22 Cancer is an orb of a square to both the sun in Libra and the moon in Aries. And at 29 Capricorn, Pluto is also in classical orb. And I say that because lots of people give different orbs to where is a planet effective in relationship in an aspect. The classical is, depending on the planet, is, you know, 2. But 10 degrees can be given with the sun and moon. So the issue of Pluto at 29 is just 5 degrees away, and it is in square also, this Pluto in Capricorn, to the sun and the moon. So it's an agitation about the control energies and the needs of the people, and it's the leadership energy or embarking into Aries, new ways, and also learning how to lead in a new way, and the sun in Libra, which is wanting to observe, well, the laws that are already on the books or something, some kind of law, with also the issue of women's rights. So this is a very potent time, and again, agitated, and yet a climax on the Mars Pluto is 2 weeks away from this particular day. And so we can be understanding what we're looking at then, which is the full moon is always bringing that light to the situation. It's like the spotlight is on it. So we'll be seeing that. And we're also looking at wars in the world and, you know, excessive damage to human life. You know, the collateral damage of, you know, the power brokers is always the innocent people of any place. So, you know, we all tend to move our focus onto certain things and decide that these are the ones that we have to, you know, worry about. But we don't have to worry about those others because we're worrying about these. But they're the same. The people are always the collateral damage of the system of war. And the system of war is not going to be of great benefit either to anyone, ultimately. So we're, you know, we're just engaged in this insanity, if you ask me. It's insane. But there are things going on that you and I are not aware of. And so we make our judgments and we're easily manipulated. And this is where I want to speak to you about one of the things that is happening. You know, we have Neptune in the sign of Pisces, and that is making it very strong as a force of one of the things on the polarity of Pisces is compassion, and the other is victimized or feeling like that, helpless and despair, and that is being augmented by Saturn, giving us karmic teaching, but also feeling like in Pisces that things are dissolving, as I've said before, like our structures that we're trying to depend on are, you know, not happening. Well, you know, I've been in an area that was fortunately not hit hard here, right where I am, by a hurricane that is still dealing with the aftermath, and talk about structures that you were leaning on and expecting to be there for you, literally washed away. And we're now hearing about like 1,000 unidentified people as bodies now, they're called, and the inability to even process this situation in North Carolina. I mean, you know, this is like a really difficult thing to process. And also, not long after, we see Milton in Florida, and we see also washing away of structures, and people finally now, this is the first time with all the hurricanes that have been hitting, that you're hearing the people down there saying, I'm getting out of here. I can't go through this anymore. Well, you know, again, this is the victim consciousness. I'm not saying that they're not being a victim. I'm saying the consciousness is being focused in victims of war, victims of weather. And again, this is not a judgment against people who are being hurt now. Not at all. But a message that comes to us through the centaur, Nessus, that's involved here too. It's been traveling with Saturn. It's at 17 degrees of Pisces. It has been square Jupiter and Gemini. It is now square Pallas Athena. Pallas Athena is also involved in the square to Saturn. And Pallas Athena in Sagittarius is a wisdom warrior that is trying to see a larger picture, a broader scenario, and just to understand that when we are in victim, we are very easily manipulated by our fear and our vulnerability. So it becomes, again, important for us to not deny the experience if we feel like we have been wounded. And many, many people are wounded now. If you're not wounded through the weather or through war, you're wounded by the economy. So many people are suffering from the unbelievable inflation issues. A lot of people are making plenty of money on that, but some people are losing their security from it. So what we have is, again, the ability to be manipulated as long as we're in fear and feel like a victim. And the only thing I can say about this is that we have to take our power. Well, you can, in the United States now, you could take your power to the ballot box, you know, and you could take a look at who will really actually help get you out of your feelings or sense of victimization. But also, it's the inner power that we have to turn to, you know, to keep ourselves strong, to keep ourselves afloat. You know, a lot of people are grieving now. Grief is also in the Piscean, you know, the water realms. And it's natural. You know, I have said to people, I've never known that I could grieve places until these places that I loved in North Carolina were totaled. And, you know, it's like the sudden, irrevocable alteration of reality that is what creates post-traumatic shock disorder. You know, you're in shock, literally, even if you aren't in that place, because it's gone, you know. So there are so many ways we're being pushed into these feelings of grief, of weakness, of victimized. So it's not that it isn't happening out there. Don't get me wrong. It's that it's a challenge to us to remain in our center of gravity within and do the work within that we can do to keep ourselves balanced and in a state of harmony, because this is important for you, your health and well-being. So when I look at this lunar event, I see us coming to a point where we could either fall into the chaos and maybe even make decisions based on that, or we could start standing and taking our steps within ourselves to feel grounded and to claim yourself as safe. Claim your power, claim your connection to the higher energies, because that is also there, you know. And so this is what I really am hoping we can focus ourselves on at the time of this full moon, so that we use the Aries energy to bring about a healing of the anger, the impatience, because that's part of, you know, grief, you know, the stages of grief. Denial is one of them, but anger is definitely there. I mean, we're grieving something, we're angry also. So we have to take a look, and the feeling and the instinctive, and, you know, sort of settle it down with whatever techniques you use. Of breathing is a good one, because, you know, an agitated state, it's not easy to just, you know, unless you're a really profound meditator, to try to blank the mind out. It's not easy to do when you're agitated. But taking a time to do deep breathing technique, get your vagus nerve handled by simple. You can tone vowel sounds in the chakras, and you can get an immediate experience of having lessening of your anxiety and stress, lessening of your anger. Also, they've been talking about humming, you know, and doing a series of hums, taking a break and then another series of humming for the vagus nerve, which is a nerve that runs through the body and has control over a lot of things and functions and systems that are within you. Give yourself the Libra, positive Libra, chance to be at peace. You know, I mean, I think that it's, you know, just to say keep your positive vision is tricky during this particular lunar event, but it's a good idea to try to hold on to that as much as you can. There is actually a grand trine in the earth element during this lunation. And Vesta, the goddess of the hearth, the keeping of the home fire in the sense of not just a literal home, but within the self, it's in Virgo. Keep the feeling, keep moving toward organizing what you can. I can control this. I'm in control of the laundry. I'm in control of sweeping the leaves away. Here I can maintain order. And that is working with the Uranus energy, which is in Taurus retrograde and has been part of the upheavals for quite a while now. Uranus is one of the planets that will take a little trip out of Taurus to a new sign, lots of new signs, you know. Pluto, any aspect, and Pluto is the third in the trine, 29 Capricorn, 25 Virgo, 26 Taurus, those are the degrees of your grand trine in Earth. The power of structure, if you focus on the structure that you have, like your bones, which is Capricorn, and, you know, your ability to ground into the Earth, this is another helper for Vesta and to deal with these sudden changes in the Earth, Taurus, and in the financial realm, you know. And for years, I've been talking about how this is supposed to teach us to use frequency in our relationship to the Earth. So a practice where you're lifting your frequency, which can, again, easily be done by toning the vowel sounds of the chakras in order, you know, this is, it's, there is something on YouTube, I'll put it into the blog post, which is a very simple 7-minute chakra tune-up that's been around for ages, one of the foremost names in sound healing, Jonathan Goldman, on YouTube. Just put that on and do it with them, and it will really help you. There are other people who are doing YouTubes on this and things like that. Some of you may like chanting if you're involved in, you know, in Eastern India, if you are chanting, you know, one of the universal chants, you can also bring yourself to a state of strength and peace within. Because you're the only one who can do that, you see. The outer world can't do that for you. So this is a great lesson coming in Aries, the I am sign, and then Libra, the we are sign. This is the polarity. So you've got to work both sides in their best way to bring them to the center where they create a positive energy of knowing the power and the cooperation combined. All right? So there's a lot of other things going on. We've got Venus at the last gasp, literally 29 degrees of Scorpio. She's going to move into Sagittarius. And while she has been doing great work in Scorpio, people don't always give her credit there, but there is credit to be given there. She's moving into a sign that will bring more uplifting sense and feeling to us, playful. So it moves forward, and we will get through this, especially if we choose to get through this. So I'm hoping that you will be able to take some information from this that will help you, and I'll say goodbye for now.